how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
I'm reading Luke 17, 11 to 19. Jesus heals 10 men. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, take pity on us." Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priests examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "There were 10 men who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who came back to give thanks to God?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Faith has made you well."
Can everyone give Eric a clap? Lord, I pray that as Ellie, David, and Samuel preach, that people's hearts will be filled and inspired. Amen. Saying that, they can come to the front.
Good morning. What a nice Sunday, eh? What a privilege we have to have a place like Jesus, a place that we can come and our young people can feel safe. We can retake energy and take courage to go on. And I think, I don't know if he's here, Steve Smith. I think he's not. But I'm going to do a Steve Smith. What do I mean by that, okay? I'm going to start with a random topic that is not related to the preach. A few jokes, okay? And then I will join all together. I like his style, by the way. It's someone that you can learn how to preach. And if you can... Leave it there, Connie. Let me open my notes. In that way, I can know what I'm going to say. When I was a kid, I always went to the seaside of Spain. It's a well-known British territory, Malaga. There is more British people there than Spaniards, let's be honest. But what I always love about that place is that we will go with my parents in a long walks, and we will see all kinds of lighthouses. Please, Akoni. Since then, I don't know, I feel very, very attracted to them. I feel like they have different shapes. They're always in awkward locations because it's the farthest point. But as you can see, you can enjoy some of the pictures that I put there for you. You can move on, Akoni. I think this one is one of my favorites. I like the red, I like the white. And you might probably wondering, what am I talking about lighthouses? It's because, I'm doing a Steve Smith, but most likely it's because sometimes in this era where GPS and location and perfectly tracking in the seaside, we lost a little bit of the purpose or the meaning of these beautiful buildings, higher buildings. I'm going to read because obviously these English words are better than mine. And I took it from ChatGPT, okay? Traditionally, you need to be up to date, you know? Traditionally, lighthouses have been critical for navigation aids for the mariners, guiding ships safely through hazardous waters and helping them to avoid dangerous obstacles, rocks, reefs, and shallow waters. Lighthouses are often strategically located along coastlines. entrance to harbors, dangerous places, providing a fixed point to start for the boats to know where to go. I think it's so beautiful. Some of them, this is from me now, some of them, they have different patterns of light, different sequences, and some people could tell where you are because of these kind of lights. This passage today is about gratitude. It's about worship. It's about coming back to Jesus. And it's about how that place can become a place where we know where we are. It's been so lovely, the worship. Thank you, Adam and the girls and everyone there. How they carry us this morning. How it's, maybe it's because I'm preaching, but I was so related to the things that are happening here, you know. Jan and Debbie's suggestion to us to respond. When we come back to Jesus, sometimes that's a light that brightens in every darkness. When we come with worship and gratefulness, it's a place that we can start afresh. But I think Jesus does more than that. Obviously, our view in this world, or some of the most contemporary views in terms of gratitude and thankfulness, is being proved that if you count your blessings every day, most likely you're going to be happier at the end of the month. This is not me. It's the Robert Edmund did that essay or experiment with another guy in 2003. But we are talking about something different here, because I think gratitude connected to worship, it connects us to the source of love. It connects us to Jesus in a different way. Some people express it like Paul: for me, life is Christ. The rest is pointless. And I think that has a deep and profound point. And the point is, when you see the beauty of Christ, you want to come back. Like this leper, Samaritan. There's a lot of intention in there for Jesus, from Jesus to his audience. He's highlighting someone that is different to the Israelites. Conflicts in there. But what I'm trying to say is, if you are a little bit lost this morning, if maybe you lost a little bit of sense of purpose of life, gratitude and worship is the way to start. Coming back to Jesus is the way to start. I want to finish my little bit with a testimony. I have a dear friend. I've been friends with her for many years. She is from Spain. She lives in the south, in Seville. And something I like about my friend is that she always been a very joyful person her whole life, until this point that I'm narrating to you. She always been very adventurous. I think it was 16, 17, and she's already been in Italy, living for 5 months during the summer. She's been in France, learning French, because she likes languages as well. And at this point that I'm describing to you, she's in Ireland, good place, Dublin. She managed to get a job in a coffee place, and she managed to start working there, having a great time. And one day, a thought came to mind. A similar, like Michelle described to us, a thought came to mind, and the thought was, you have all that you dream. This might be finished soon. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but that thought ruined, in a way, her journey and her year in Dublin, because started doubting if something good can happen to her, started doubting God's character. And obviously, we always have a good ending, because what she did is intentionally every morning she went to the lighthouse, she went to Jesus, she went and started coming to him. Sometimes with a very negative thoughts, or even not even joy, or my people describe this as depression. But what she learned over the years, she used to call me and said, "David, I'm feeling very discouraged today. Will I get married? My parents will die." All kinds of things that we all go through. But I've seen my friend Esther developing a habit of coming back to Jesus, coming back to the source of her life and her happiness and her gratefulness and her worship. And I can tell you, sometimes the thoughts are there. Sometimes the hardship is there. But she's definitely learned a discipline that she look at Christ. And the circumstances might not change, but she's content. I cannot like the idea of being unclean and being clean in this passage. And why I choose Esther as a testimony is because every day that I talk to her, she would say to me, "I'm cleaning my glasses, David." And that is a very beautiful picture, because sometimes those thoughts, those feelings can make our glasses dirty. Maybe in this case, this guy has the skin corrupting and getting ill and suffering. But we can come to Jesus and he make us clean. We see afresh. Thank you very much.
Hey guys, so now we're going to take a look at what it says in the scripture. At the beginning of the verse, Luke tells us Jesus is going along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, Galilee was a place where Jesus would have felt at home and was well known for performing miracles. So then, when the 10 men with leprosy met Jesus, they stood at a distance from him, because leprosy was a chronic infectious disease without a cure and left people disfigured with lumps and sores. Because of the disease, the leper was considered virtually unclean. So to be unclean in this time wasn't just to be sinful, but was also related to non-sinful things, but like childbirth or burying a dead relative and skin diseases like leprosy. Due to this, the 10 men were treated as social outcasts. After this, Jesus is asked to take pity on the 10 lepers. He tells them to go and let the priests examine you. Owing to the fact that then only the priests could pronounce someone clean or unclean and readmit them back into society. This is shown in Leviticus 13 and 14, where it reads, "Then the priests shall consider and behold if the leprosy have covered all his flesh." Similarly, sometimes we feel like social outcasts and unclean, even if we have done nothing wrong. So we try to get approval and acceptance from the priests in our day-to-day lives, whether that's friends, family, or people at work or school. However, no one and nothing can give you or tell you your worth, for it is found in Jesus, who makes the lepers clean. So then Jesus is now waiting for the 10 men to come back to thank him, but only the one foreigner, the Samaritan, comes back. Reason being, the other 9 from Galilee knew of Jesus' ability to perform miracles, but also assumed, like, why wouldn't our all-loving God not help us? And it's because of this that they almost took Jesus for granted, by not thanking him. But I think Jesus isn't angry by this, but more disappointed that not only they didn't want to thank him, but also by walking away, they didn't want to have a relationship with him, even after he helped them. I feel like this can sometimes end up looking like when we have been Christians along and on the road with God for a long time and forget to be grateful for all the traffic in our lives that he has cleared away, but we haven't noticed. Yet, if we don't say thank you, our relationship with Jesus will loosen, because although he will still be there waiting for us to say thank you, we will be like the other nine walking away from him. That's why we need to be like the Samaritan, new, fresh Christians every day by thanking and giving back to him as much as we get. And finally, sometimes we feel like we can't come back to Jesus due to the unclean things we carry. And we try to distance ourselves like the 10 lepers did when they first met Jesus. But Jesus wants us to come back to him like the Samaritan did and thanked him for not treating him like an outcast, but freeing him from that hold the world had on his life. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Samuel, and I'm going to be finishing off. I'm going to be the third part of this preach. So you've heard about the consequences of being ungrateful and how worship, praise and gratitude can have a huge positive impact on our hearts. How having a relationship with God is important, and how if you stray away from him like a lost sheep, you can always come back to him. But I'm going to be talking about how you could use the scripture read out earlier by Eric and apply it to your everyday life. I'll use a metaphor to convey this message to you. So, to have a good dish, you have to have your rice, your meat, for this instance I'm going to use chicken, and of course your sauce. In this metaphor, the rice represents how Jesus loves all kinds of people, plumbers, lawyers, and even traffic wardens. One of the ways Jesus showed his love for us was by dying on the cross for us. Another way he showed his omnibenevolence is through his many healing miracles. Most importantly of all, he shows his forgiveness and love by choosing to accept us as we are. And I'll use another modern day analogy for this part, which is that when you go for a shower, you don't clean yourself off before you get into the shower. You get into the shower to be cleaned, which I think could be applied to the way that many people think that they are too far from God or too unclean spiritually to come to church. And this is shown in the Bible in Luke 15 verse 7, where it says, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." I think this is a really good reminder of God's never-ending love. I think another example of how God shows his love for us is when, in the Bible verse that Eric read earlier about the lepers who were healed, it shows how when they were healed and only one returns, Jesus could have been angry with them or given them leprosy again, but he forgave them and loved them despite their selfishness, setting an example for us to try and follow as closely as possible. The second part of the dish or preach, however you want to picture it, is the sauce. And it represents not taking God for granted. I think this is a very relevant topic to us, as in this day and age, we take many things for granted, whether it be free education, a public health service, or most importantly of all, God. In a world filled with uncertainties, God provides us with comfort by sending down the Holy Spirit. He provides us with guidance from his all-knowing and all-seeing and a sense of purpose, knowing that he created each and every one of us for a reason and has woken each of us up every morning of our lives with a job to fulfill. Acknowledging this can also help us feel and be reminded of the presence of him, especially in our busy lives where we might be distracted by things like friends, work, school, etc. Not that these are bad necessarily, but I think that it is good to take some time each day to meditate on the Lord, whether that's before you sleep, while having lunch, or even in the shower. To remind ourselves that all we have on earth will one day be gone and can be taken away in an instant, unlike that of heaven, which will remain for the rest of eternity. By appreciating God's presence in our lives, we have a sense of spirituality that can bring us peace and strength during challenging times, as we know that anything we go through, Jesus has already been through it, and he is walking alongside us all the way. It is also important for us not to forget the importance of faith and gratitude in our lives, for it is through God that we find hope, love, and meaning in this complex world full of sin. Lastly, you got the chicken, arguably the best part. And in this instance, that represents gratitude. Gratitude for God, gratitude for family, gratitude for friends. The list goes on. Gratitude is something that no matter what, we can always have. For example, Job from the Bible. Satan took his wife, children, his health, and pretty much everything he owned. Despite all this, he was grateful to God who gave him life. I think we could all take a lot from Job in the sense that whatever life throws at us, Jesus knows how we feel and knows what's best for us. And for that, we owe him our life. Another thing about gratitude from the story about Jesus and the lepers is that only one was grateful, and he made that choice to not go with the rest of the crowd because he was grateful, and they might all have been grateful, but it's what he did with his gratefulness that made the difference. I think that we could use this in our own life, where people around us might not make the same choices that we do, because maybe they don't believe in something else. Because maybe they believe in something else or don't believe in anything at all. And if I could leave you with a final image, it's to be like a salmon swimming upstream against the flow of the world, to get from the sea to the river which they were born, or for us to get to the promised land.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living